increase sales, improve margins, and grow your business. Guaranteed. Top secrets of marketing and sales.
Professional Profile Series.
Now. David Blaze.
Hello and welcome back to the Professional Profile Series, where we interview growth-minded business professionals to discuss what they're doing better and differently to grow their sales and profits. I'm David Blaze from TopSecrets.com. We help our business owners and salespeople to increase their sales, improve the profit margins, and grow their businesses. And I am joined once again today by my co-host, business development goddess Bianca Istvan. She is the executive producer of the show as well. And she has once again handpicked all of today's guests. So welcome back, Bianca.
Thank you so much, David. I'm really glad we have the honor to have such incredible people today. And of course, you know, to give the opportunity to talk about their business and share their insights. So I just want to start with our first guest, which is Rosa Toribio. Welcome. And please tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Thank you. Excited to be here. Hello. My business is actually named Power Up. I will start a little bit about telling you a little bit about myself. I am originally from the Dominican Republic, and I am in New York, and I've been here for quite a while, about 26 years, and it's been a wonderful journey that has taken me to public health. And in that field, I have managed large grants, public grants, where I have been able to be part of the award process, implementation, approval, payments, and also site visits, where that's the audit part, where we provide technical assistance as well as place CAP in place, which is corrective actions to help nonprofit organizations to really follow through with the steps that they need in order to get to the other side. With my business, I have been able to take all that experience that I have over half of a decade.
Managing an implementation
of grants, and also bringing a sense of wholeness to chaos, to actually help entrepreneurs as well as small businesses to pay attention to the non-tangible and understand how the non-tangible actually has an impact in performance and profit. So think about a business as a puzzle. My business comes along and put the business together and develops strategies and solutions to increase your performance as well as your profit. And that's the focus of my business.
That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Rosa. I would like to go to my next guest on my screen. Welcome, Baz Porter. Please tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Thank you for being here with me. It's an honor to be here in front of you serving today. My name is Baz, and I'm an entrepreneur. I help businesses grow to $100 million and also making sure they have a legacy to leave to their future. I do that with a simple structure that I call RAMS, Results, Attitude, Mastery, and Systems. And I also implement AI strategies into their business and make sure that they're thriving and living at their highest potentials within their personal life as well.
That's absolutely incredible. Thank you so much, Baz, for joining us. I would like to go to my next guest. Welcome, Chris Weher. Please tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. So my business is Cleaver Creative, and we are a video production company. I started it 11 years ago this month, which feels pretty cool. And we have two different kinds of videos that I guess we make. One is generally for larger companies, which is explainer videos and sales videos that kind of explain complicated and sometimes kind of boring topics in an exciting and interesting way. And then the other service that we offer is working with small and medium-sized businesses and partnering together to help them create their own video content. So a lot of smaller companies are figuring out like, okay, we need a content strategy. We need a video content strategy, but they don't really know where to begin. So we partner with companies and say, let us be the production arm of your content and help guide you on that path.
That's very creative. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today. I would like to go to our next guest, Mohamed Awal Sanus. Please tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be part of this. My name is Mohamed. I'm from Ghana, and I've been in the real estate business for 7 years now. And we deal in buying and selling of properties and property management as well. We mostly deal in short stays as well. I mean, we have clients all over the world who come to Ghana mostly during the peak season, mostly from August to December, who come to Ghana for business purposes, for vacation, for recreational purposes. And we cover them with our short lets and our short stays. So we are basically into everything real estate.
That's fantastic. Maybe we all gonna meet in Ghana very soon. So thank you so much for this.
Hopefully. Thank you.
David, I want to pass it to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet our panel. Thank you all for being here. Obviously, one of the things that our focus is always on is the fact that we're interacting with growth-minded business owners, growth-minded salespeople, entrepreneurs, and not everybody is. I had a conversation earlier today with someone. I was talking about the fact that we interact with growth-minded business owners, and this gentleman said, well, isn't that everyone? I said, no, it really isn't. You'd be surprised at how many are not really interested in growing. Like, well, now I'm happy where I am, or they're not quite sure what to do next. So I'm always delighted to be able to interact with a group of people who feel the same way about it that I do, which is let's see what we can do to test our limits and see what we're able to accomplish. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start out and ask you to just take a moment to tell us what the things are that you're doing now or some of your favorite things that you're doing to grow your business. Now, Mohammed was actually the very first one to log in even before we got here. So I'm going to start with Mohammed to get his answer first.
Thank you for this question. What we do actually to get more audience, I mean, first I'll start with we do a lot of advertisements and a lot of sponsorships. With this kind of business, I mean, our business is kind of like has a season. With the current economic crisis we are facing in this world, business has been quite not responsive. So what we do different to actually get more audience is we put more in advertising and sponsorships of programs, social media advertisement. What we do first is we target personalized targeting. I mean, we aim to reach individuals. So we kind of have like people that we target. I mean, most of our clients are actually by referrals. So we target those clients and then make sure that we attend to them. We give them all they want, all their property wants, and most of their apartments and buildings that we manage, we do it properly. And through that, we get referrals from them to meet other clients as well. And we do the same thing with the new clients. And the new clients also do refer us to different people. And then that's how we go. That's how we actually able to actually reach more people.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Let's go to Rosa next.
Thank you. For me, in the phase that I am with my business, what is working is to connect with people. It is that personal conversation and understanding the pain that they are experiencing. And meeting in forums like this and join community groups and also just putting contact that they out there, having conversations and being vulnerable, I think for me it's working well because a lot of people are reaching out, asking me questions, wanting to hear more and inquiring about assessments related to their business and their needs. And I am actually having that connection because ultimately what I want is to really understand what is their pain and connect with that and how can I get them to the other side, as well as how can I connect them with all their entrepreneurs or businesses that are going to honestly and profoundly have that transformation in their businesses. It's not just about me coming and fix it all. It's just my goal is to get those businesses to this other side to meet their goal, whatever that takes, whether it's connecting them to other resources or it's something that we can do ourselves. And at the end of the day, it's just relying on our expertise as well as this list of resources or partners that we have to be able to accomplish that.
That's great. I think your point about conversations is so key. Very often we lose sight of the fact that without conversations, nothing's getting sold to anyone, right? It ultimately boils down to being able to have those conversations. Excellent. Thank you. Chris.
Sure. So the main way that I've grown our business in the past 4 years has been on LinkedIn. And that's how, Bianca, you and I connected. I'm kind of curious if that's how you all connected, was through LinkedIn. But what I discovered in 2019 was there was a lack of video content on LinkedIn. Like people really just weren't posting videos there. And so I started making a video series, one video a week, just talking about my experience, my knowledge of video production. And it blew up. I just couldn't believe kind of the results because there wasn't great quality video content. So people were kind of starved for it. So then we married that with an outbound strategy as well of sending customized videos to people talking about how they can improve their video content. And those two things in conjunction really is the only thing that we've done for the past 4 years, and it's grown the business pretty well. What I didn't really expect from this was that a hidden benefit was the people that are our clients now, I just get along with really well. Like, our personalities align because they have met me through my videos before they've even decided to take a call. And I think it's worked well for our clients in that way too. And it's kind of, it becomes an odd thing because especially if you see somebody else's video and they've seen your video and then you get on a call, it's like you've already met, but you actually haven't, but you feel like it. So that's generally my recommendation for any small, medium business owner is literally just get on LinkedIn, put out a video talking about what you know once a week and see what happens from that. Because from what I can see on LinkedIn, there's actually a very small amount of really, really high quality business content for the more serious business owners. There is some great stuff out there, but comparatively to breaking through the noise of like, oh, hey, here's a funny picture of me and my dog, which is fun to look at, but like that's generally a little bit more Facebook. You know, when you create really good business content there, I think people get value out of it.
Okay. Just really, really quickly, I'd just like to clarify something. So you're talking about putting out the content roughly once a week on LinkedIn and then doing customized videos as DMs. Is that what you were saying?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that like a Loom kind of thing, or you're just sending them right on LinkedIn?
You can use whatever you want. We actually use links in Google Drive, but it's whatever works for you. And if you can customize and give value to that in that video message, it goes a really long way.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Baz.
Yeah. Thank you for the question, David. It's an excellent question. Three things really that's worked for me is lead with value and then be curious and ask the right questions. And also, as Chris was saying about the content, make it educational. LinkedIn worked for me very, very well. I'm only on LinkedIn because the other platforms don't serve my audience. But it's really educating. It's telling people, showing people who you are and giving the knowledge in a very authentic way that resonates with your audience, but also resonates with you. But most importantly, leave with a value. Give people what they're looking for and solve the problem, not just a version of it. Give great content and make sure that you're in the memory of that person. And that's what's working for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Leading with value, leading with excellent content, I think is it's really critical because there is so much noise out there. As Chris was saying, there's just so much stuff that's out there that doesn't create value, that when you do that, when you're actually creating value in your communication, you are really accomplishing a lot that others might not be accomplishing. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much. Bianca, you want to give us a recap of what we got from this so far?
Well, you know, basically what I heard from Mohammed is that he loves to do advertising, sponsorships on social media and targeting people in a very intentional way and obviously going after referrals. What I heard from Rosa is that she likes to connect with people. She likes to understand their pain, joining community groups and having meaningful conversations. Chris told us that he likes to use LinkedIn as a main source. He loves to make video where he explains, you know, the video production and sends those videos very in a customized way as a DM to people and explain how he can help them and his business, of course. Bez, he shared with us that he loves to lead with value, likes to, you know, be curious and ask the right questions. He likes to make educational content and he also uses LinkedIn as a main source. So thank you all for sharing your great insight with us. David, I want to pass it to you.
Thank you, Bianca. I'd like to get a take from the group here. Is there something that you heard that someone else on the panel said that you thought, I can apply that today?
Hearing Rosa talk about the networking groups, that is something that I just do not do probably enough of. And it's nice to be a part of a group like this because I think a lot of the things that we are talking about, we all kind of know, But for me, that was like, yeah, if I just went to one networking group a month, who knows, that could be a big thing for our business this year. So it is nice to just get those reminders of like, yeah, it's the basics, like show up and you're probably going to grow.
Yeah. Anyone else? One of the things that I like about having a group like this where you're in different industries, you're appealing to different audiences, is that you have these different approaches. And so often, if we're stuck in a particular niche or niche, however you say it, depending on where you're from, if you're interacting with the same people all the time, you kind of end up doing the same thing. So it's nice to just sort of spread the seeds around, get some ideas from people who are doing things a little differently to say, hey, does that work for me? So appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So we talked about challenges, and our topic today is really about targeting. And so I wanted to get a feel from you as far as that's concerned, the challenges that you run into as far as targeting, because so much of what we do is going to depend upon the people that we're interacting with. And when we're trying to get to the right people, there's an element of it that is about avoiding the wrong people, the people who are not qualified to do business with us. And anyone in sales who has spent a lot of time talking to people who never convert know that this is true. And the better we can get at identifying our ideal prospects up front, the better off we're going to be in terms of our time and in the results that we're getting, both for ourselves and for the people that we're interacting with. So I'd love to get your feel in terms of, from a targeting standpoint, what are the things that have worked for you in terms of targeting, and what are the things that are still potentially giving you challenges as far as your targeting is concerned? Let's start with Chris this time.
Sure. So initially when we started doing this process, my targeting was basically anybody who was making videos on LinkedIn and basically just reaching out and saying, hey, like, here's a few things that you can improve. What it has turned into is more niched down targeting as far as the companies that we look to partner with. So usually it's a company with at least 5 to 10 employees, but they probably don't have a dedicated salesperson. Like, the company owner is also the salesperson. So they're struggling to figure out, like, how do I maximize my time and kind of scale my own skills and get a further reach with who I am. Mm-hmm. So that's usually what it is. It's not necessarily defined to a particular industry, but that's usually the main thread that I'm looking for. Is they're a smaller company that wants to do their own content, but doesn't really have a whole sales team that they can depend on yet.
Okay, great. And so what are the challenges in terms of reaching those people?
It takes time. You know, it takes time to sort through the different profiles, the different people, looking and seeing like what their company size is and all these things. So, you know, I have a couple, you know, virtual assistants that I've been working with for years now, and they're really helpful in that. But I think that's probably the biggest thing, is it just takes time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes sense. All right. Baz.
Hi. Thank you. I think when it comes to targeting, it's raising your standard. I grew my company from $7 arriving here in the UK, in America, from traveling the world. And what I learned on that journey was raising your personal standard for what you're giving all the time and having elevated conversations. It was never about the financial aspect. Mm-hmm. And as Chris was saying, it's about identifying who you can serve and the value in that from what you give. So for me, I target Fortune 500 companies, people of that level, because the coaching and the performance coaching that I give on a personal level suits also that industry. So tech companies, telecom companies, that level suits me, and it means that I can build a platform to help other people from that as well, and the word spreads through referral, through word of mouth, and elevated conversations.
I love what you just described there. It's interesting too, because so much of the work that I've done is sort of the opposite of that. I tend to work with smaller businesses, entrepreneurial, the people who can turn on a dime. And so I imagine that the challenges that you and I are dealing with are very different. And even from a targeting standpoint as well, it's probably a bit harder for you to be able to reach the executive decision makers who are willing to take a call.
Yeah, and this is what I found. I mean, I looked at the whole of LinkedIn and people were talking to small, medium-sized businesses, but no one was addressing the issues and the level of issues in the larger companies, senior management, their issues within the company and also at home. So I started to ask, why weren't they having the conversations? And it came back from a lot of effort and surveys and asking questions that they were too scared or too afraid to go to the top and go through middle management, go through the CIOs, CFOs, the attorney firms, which hold the capital for these bigger relationships.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, how do I get in front of them? How do I affect middle management so I can go up or equally downward and teach leadership within these industries? So I targeted middle, and then I was able to diversify between the two.
Yeah. I love that too. I've had conversations with business owners, not even large business owners, but smaller business owners who are trying to get to different people in an organization. And we talk about the idea of getting referrals within an organization where, as you described, if you can get somebody in the middle who can refer you to someone at the top. And some of the conversations we've had have been about, well, sort of the higher you can shoot on the tree, the better off you are, because if the boss refers you to a mid-level manager that you have to deal with, they're going to be a lot more likely to pay attention than if the clerk in the mailroom refers you to the mid-level manager who does that. And so I think it's such a great distinction that you've drawn there in terms of just looking at who do I really need to reach and how am I going to reach that person. Okay, Mohammed.
Well, thank you for the question. So our main target actually as a real estate company is we target international investors. We target people who are actually willing to invest in Africa and real estate in Africa. A lot of people actually do not know a lot about real estate in Africa. And then our target is actually to find people, to find investors who are ready to invest in Africa. Now, how do we find those investors? We do that by attending all real estate events that are happening in Ghana, not only in Ghana, all over Africa. We try to attend those events to actually get to network with those investors, to actually get to sell the market, to sell the real estate market in Ghana to them, to make them understand what they are investing into. Now, the challenge is, how do we get the investors? How do we get the international or foreign investors? That's mostly the challenge. But with the help of our Instagram, I mean, we are most active on Instagram, with the help of Instagram, with the help of sponsorships and promoting our posts, our reels. I mean, reels goes a long way. So we try to do that a lot. And through that, we're able to reach a number of investors who are actually willing to know more about real estate in Africa. And then we do attend real estate events outside Africa as well to actually get to network with those investors and then tell them what they are actually investing into in Africa.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Rosa.
Thank you. My business is, I'm going to disclose this because I also want the audience who's watching to also connect with the aspect of being blessed with the ability of hearing from people on all levels. My business is in a very early stage, and I want them to understand that no matter where you're at, you're always going to be facing this not only challenges, but also asking your questions no matter at what level you are at. And for me, has been understanding not just the need, but my calling. What is the intention of the business? Where do I want to bring this blessing? And then on that, who is ready for it? And sorting out as we come along, because a lot of times we think we want certain services or we want approach certain issues or challenges certain way, but then we're not ready because we're not ready to take action, which is the assessment is so important, having those conversations to have a better understanding and be honest with the customer as to, hey, I'm here and I'm here at this level for you. If you want right now, at everything that you want, this is where I see that you are. Are you really ready to take these steps? Because at the same time, you want to give them as much value, and you want to give them explain to them everything that you can do and everything that's possible, and then allow them to process, is there something that they're ready to actually take on? A lot of times we make decisions thinking, yes, this is what I'm going to do. It all depends what's causing making those decisions, the pain that is causing them, or the illusion that is causing people to make those decisions and then coming to that. I think for me, that's what is going to work really well. And in conversations with people that has shown interest in partnering with me and bringing me on board has been that, and this has been very recently, so it hasn't even been something that I've been doing for years in terms of doing it on my own outside of doing it working for somebody else. So for me, that has been the connection. And on that is just then going through that process, really understanding which community is actually ready, which one is not. And also even the pattern, there are patterns that you get to start seeing who is really committed, who's really ready, and then starting from there, but not holding back as to, all right, so if you're not ready for this, but let me just give you some tips. And these are the things that for now, you can at least alleviate the pain, at least. And then if they decide to come, fine, and I'm always here. And if they're ready, let's do it. And just having that attitude, and I think that create, at least it has worked, that it creates this trust and understanding that I'm not going after for their money. I genuinely want to connect with their pain and genuinely want to support them and stopping the bleeding and making things a lot better for them and ultimately solving it.
Okay. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right, Bianca.
So far, thank you so much, David. So far, you know, what we got from our guest is that, you know, Chris initially was targeting people that were making videos on LinkedIn. And now, you know, he realized that he needs to have a niche and he's going for smaller businesses that don't necessarily have a sales team and helping them in this process. Baz, he likes to, you know, raise a personal standard for what he's giving, because it's all about identifying, you know, who he can serve and who he can bring value to. So, you know, that's absolutely fantastic. Mohammed, he is looking for international investors and usually people who are willing to invest in Africa. Rosa, she, you know, she likes to understand their pain point. She's really, you know, helping people to understand the intention of business and who's really ready to make that steps. She helps people to understand, you know, and to explain everything that's possible for them going further. So that's what we got so far from our guest. David, I want to pass it to you.
Okay, yeah, when we talk about the idea of targeting, it's such a critical element of everything because in my view, it all starts with that. You can't sell anything until you have someone who needs what you have to offer and who can purchase it. So without that thought that goes into it ahead of time, you can spin your wheels and waste a lot of time talking to people who have absolutely no capacity to buy from you. Another thing that particularly small to medium-sized businesses run into is the fact that you can't market to everyone, right? If we had enough money, we could market to everyone, but most businesses just can't do that. Even the ones with a lot of money have trouble doing that. So being selective about the process of who you want to market to is very critical. And so one of the things that has helped our clients along the way is to really try to pare it down from, I want to try to sell to everyone, to, okay, well, who am I actually going to talk to next? And it's not easy to do that when you're looking at the world and thinking in terms of Dr. Evil from the old movies, you know, I want a world domination, that type of thing. It doesn't really work like that. It has to happen in steps. And so what we do with our clients is we focused on what we refer to as the three-level targeting approach. And it starts with what's the primary, the main market that you want to address. This is sort of the largest addressable market, the largest market that you'd really like to be able to reach and dominate, not in terms of being crazy with it, but being able to allow them to know who you are, know what you do, so that they can then make a thumbs up or thumbs down decision about whether or not to work with you. And so you pick this larger market, this sort of macro view, and you say, okay, how do I pare that down? And so what we do is we look at the second step to that is defining what I refer to as the largest manageable sub-market. What is the largest market that is actually manageable for you? And that might be a couple dozen people, right? It might be a relatively small number of people, but these are the people that you think have the ability to potentially buy from you. And then from there, we boil it down further to the ones that you're actually going to reach out to. And each of you are reaching out to people in different ways. In our last podcast, we were talking about first contact. What is the first contact we have with a new prospect? And so this is about that. Who am I going to initiate my first contact with? And once you get it down to that granular level, you can then gauge the responses that you're getting from those people and then adapt or tweak or change your target from your largest manageable submarket. If you find that the people you're interacting with are not receptive, then you can do the tweaking at that level and fix things a lot more quickly. And what we find is that when you're taking this sort of three-level approach, it allows you to get to the right people a lot faster without driving yourself out of your mind. So just thought I would share that.
I'm so sorry. I love what you said, because also you are highlighting a level of awareness that is actually often overlooked at. And you also saying it's just getting to know who you are, what you're selling and who you're selling to, but it's at a conscious level, a profound knowledge and being comfortable with yourself as well as with your products. And that confidence alone, it allows you to connect with people and be able to identify them, because you already identify that within yourself.
Yes. And so exactly. I mean, what we're talking about as far as targeting is, okay, we're deciding who we're going to go after. And when we do this, we don't have any idea whether or not they're going to be receptive to what we have to say. And so what you're really talking about, I think, is the relationship aspect of it, establishing a relationship. And I think what I'm saying is we want to have essentially a test market where we're going to see if that conversation goes anywhere, find out if they are receptive to what we have to say, find out if they're a good fit for us. Because yeah, it's not about me trying to force my product on you. It's about finding out if this person, if these people have a need that we can address, that we can help with them. And then if we can, we share that and we see if we can help and if we can work together. If we can, it's great. And if we can't, that's fine too. I mean, I think that the best salespeople are the ones who are not trying to bang a square peg into a round hole. They're the people who actually want to help the prospects they're interacting with. And from my experience, this is sort of the fastest way to get to that. We also, in a future podcast, we're going to be talking about qualification procedures and disqualification procedures, finding out in a conversation as quickly as possible, how can we identify when there's not a good fit so that we're not wasting their time or our time? We have to be conscious of both. Did that address your... Okay. I really appreciate the question. Thank you. Anyone else have questions on any of this? Because I think it's such a great topic for those who sort of like get their heads around it and recognize how much of a difference it can make.
I have a question.
Yeah, Chris.
All right. So while you were talking about those qualifications, something jumped to mind for me. So I was traveling around a lot last year. Bianca and I were talking about that yesterday at the pre-screening call. And what I sort of discovered and realized for myself, as far as what I care about when working with a client, is like really all I want to do is help great people do great things. That is all I care about. Like, and I happen to be doing it through video. If that is my North Star, do you see that as the biggest qualifier or the last qualifier in that funnel of trying to decide niching down?
That's such a great question. I think helping great people do great things, I love that. And the way that you're doing it with your approach on LinkedIn is you're looking at what are people doing on LinkedIn. You're seeing what they're posting. You're seeing how they're interacting, what they're saying to people. And you're making an initial decision about, is this a great person that I want to help to do great things, right? So you're essentially doing a lot of that discernment process by looking at what they're posting. Is that right?
Yes. That is, I guess, the benefit of being able to see their content ahead, is I can kind of prejudge and say, do I think this person is great or do I want to work with them based upon how they communicate? So yeah, that is kind of an advantage, I guess.
And so if you think about the approach that you're taking, if you were to put it in the terms that I just described, it's like, okay, my overall market is everyone on LinkedIn, but I don't want everyone on LinkedIn. I just want great people who are going to do great things, right? So now what is my largest manageable submarket? Well, today it might be reaching out to X number of people. That's my largest manageable submarket. So that's the second group. These are the ones I'm going to interact with today. And then the targeting part of it, that where it really boils down to, okay, who am I going to reach out to first? I mean, you're essentially doing all these things in your head anyway, but, and so are most people, but they don't realize how they're doing it. Somebody goes to a networking function, a chamber of commerce function. I've been there a dozen times. It's the same people all the time, right? You walk into a chamber function and what are you doing? You're saying, okay, my market is everybody in this chamber function. What is my largest manageable submarket? A lot of times we don't even go to that. We just go right for the shrimp, right? We're just going to have a, I'm going to have a snack. I'm going to have a drink and I'm going to see who I can talk to. And so then the middle part gets mixed up, but then you end up interacting or targeting with whoever it is that comes up to you or whoever you approach. So we're all kind of doing this. Same thing with cold calls. You're deciding I could call anyone on the planet. I decided a small group of people I'm going to call, and then I pick up the phone and I call one person. So these three levels determine who you're interacting with on a daily basis. So for you, it's a broad market, great people doing great things. But when you say great, okay, that does narrow the field because not everyone is great. Not everyone wants to do great things. But I think what you're doing now is really an excellent model of sort of doing all that as you're doing your prospecting on LinkedIn.
Okay. It's interesting. I appreciate that feedback because it was kind of a revelation when I figured that out. I was like, oh, this is actually what I care about now. And so it's like, I like the way that you phrase that. So thank you.
You may be familiar. There's a guy named Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. And Dan Sullivan asked the question, who do I want to be a hero to? Who do I want to be a hero to? And I love that question. For me, it's entrepreneurs and salespeople who want to grow their sales and profits. Those are my people. I was at a trade show earlier this week in Las Vegas, and it was filled with entrepreneurs and salespeople. And I was just in my element. I was just loving it because every one of these people I want to help. The thing is, a lot of them don't want my help. They feel like they don't need my help. They don't understand what it is that I do. They are then non-prospects, right? So there are a lot of great people who are non-prospects. So what we have to do is identify who are the ones that we think are great that also think we're at least adequate enough, if not great, to help them.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, I would like to bring to light the other side also of an entrepreneurship, and is this resistance to sales.
Yes.
And this relationship with the word and the actions behind sales. And I think it's so, for me alone, it was a journey. And it was a journey that I literally sat myself down to move away from just the content, but also then focus on the structure of how these individuals that were doing the sales were doing it, so that I could not focus on just what they were selling, but also understand how they were doing it. And the understanding of us not selling or not promoting what we have to offer is actually preventing others from being able to grow, because we are a service. And if they don't know that the service is out there for them to make their lives easier or just to help them achieve their goal, achieve that target, we are stealing them from that. We're robbing them from that opportunity. And when I connected with the service part, with the act of service, that's when it all transformed.
Yes, that is such a great point. We're really talking there about levels of awareness. And in every market, I believe it was Eugene Schwartz in his book, Breakthrough Advertising, talked about different levels of awareness. And every person in your market is at a different level of awareness in terms of their own needs, what they know about what's available. So there are some people who are product and solution aware. They're aware of what you do, they're aware that you do it, and they have the ability to buy from you. So your messaging to that person is going to be different than the person who doesn't know that you exist, or maybe they just met you, but they don't know what you do, they don't know why they need your service. But they may be problem aware. They may be aware that they have a problem, but they don't know that there's a solution and they don't know that you can fix it. So the conversations that we have at those levels are all different depending on what their level of awareness is of their own problem, the fact that there's a solution available, the fact that you can provide the solution, and then why they should choose you to provide the solution. So there are like four or five different levels of sales that are involved here. But once you get this, it makes it so much easier to accomplish your objectives and help those people.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the questions. I love the interaction. Anyone else? I guess we should probably start wrapping up here.
Just want to say something, you know, because I just think everybody, you know, at the end of the day, absolutely everybody has something to sell. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a lawyer, you know, whichever you are. But it's just so easy to sell if you're selling to the right people, because you know that your product or the things that you're doing can really help them, can change their life. So I think, you know, it's great to be aware of that as well, because it's very important to be intentional and to go for the people that actually, you know, to just be intentional in your network and when choosing those people, when targeting them, because we are on the topic. So that's all I wanted to add.
I love that. The idea of being intentional is so important for every aspect of what we do, every aspect of business, every aspect of just trying to help people with what they're looking to accomplish. So before we wrap up, I would like to give everybody an opportunity to share what's the best way to get in touch with you so that people who are watching this podcast can do that. Rosa, you want to start?
Absolutely. So as I'm still working on certain pieces of development and on transparency, I can be reached at powerupnowllc@gmail. And we're more than happy to actually answer any questions and support you in any type of way that is possible, or connect you with somebody that can actually support you.
Okay, great. Baz.
Hi, best way to get hold of me is through LinkedIn or on the website, which is there behind me, ramsbybaz.com. And I just want to say it's a pleasure to be here with you, David, and the guests. It's an honor to be of service to you.
Thank you so much, Baz. It's a pleasure meeting you. I appreciate your input on our conversation today. Chris.
People can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search my name, Chris, C-H-R-I-S. Last name is Weir, W-E-I-H-E-R.
Okay, perfect. Mohammed, it's the best way for people to reach you.
Through Instagram, Mass Homes, MAS_Homes, Mass Homes. So you can email us, maki@masshomes.com.
Okay, Bianca, how can they get hold of you?
Give me a quick call. You can book an appointment on my LinkedIn. No, but would be great, David, you know, for people to know is exactly how they can get hold of us. You know, on my LinkedIn, I'm available 24 hours, you know, work on all time zones because I like to travel. So they can always book an appointment with me there and, you know, discuss more details about how we can help them or join our podcast as well.
Yes, exactly. And so if you're interested in doing that, if you're interested in potentially being a guest on our podcast, you can reach out to Bianca via her LinkedIn, and we would be happy to have you on here. All right. So once again, I would just like to thank all of you for sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences with us. And for everyone who's watching, if you have not yet done so, ask yourself, how can I apply this immediately? One of the big things that we like to do here, when Bianca gives you the little synopsis of the different recommendations, it's designed to give you points that you can then use to take action. Oh yeah, I can do that. And a lot of the things that we're talking about can be started very simply. So if you're interested in doing that, by all means, I encourage you to do so. If you would like to discuss how we can put this to work in your business, you can go to topsecrets.com/call. That's topsecrets.com/call. Or if you'd like to see if you're qualified to be a guest on our podcast, you can go to topsecrets.com/qualify. That's topsecrets.com/qualify. And we would love to potentially see you on here next. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate your participation. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Increase sales, improve margins, and grow your business. Guaranteed. Top Secrets. TopSecrets.com.